The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
I'm George from the Metal Geeks. I just want to let you know, if you're looking for a place where we can chat about the coolest and the geekiest of things, comic books, movies, especially heavy metal, then you're not looking for anything else except for our show, Metal Geeks, where I'm always right and Carrie sometimes right, especially when it comes to movies. We're there having a good time, me, Dave, and Carrie, talking about geeky stuff and metal. I repeat, metal meet geeky, Metal Geeks.
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sams, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to another awesome, adventurous week with the Con Guy Show. And you saw that all of our, you saw our intro there, all the people that were introduced. You're not seeing those same people here. That's because we have our all-star co-hosts with us tonight that are kind of here on special assignment. We love when Angela and Jake come to the show. You guys are always such a bright spot. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves. We'll start with Angela.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me back on Jim and Cheeseman. It's been a minute, but I'm Angela Relucio, and I am an actor slash nerd slash multi-hyphenate. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight talking about what went down this weekend.
Yeah, we are. Jake.
Jake Thomas, that's me. I'm a writer and a fan. Not an oscillating fan.
I've got one of those fans right beside me. Yeah. It's been kind of warm up here.
Yeah. And also a proud attendee of this this past weekend's con.
I love when Jake's on the show because Jake is also, I would call him sort of an expert when it comes to comic books. And he really knows his stuff there. Who's up on the couch today?
Well, it's Cheeseman back here on the couch the past couple times, just hanging out here in my living room tiki bar. One of the founding members of the Con Guy, also screenwriter and panelist at WonderCon.
Hmm? Oh, that's cool. And we'll talk about that panel in just a second. So tonight, guys, it's all about WonderCon. This is the WonderCon after show. We will be talking about, or give you our general thoughts. We're going to show you some cosplays that we really loved. Talk about the high points. The not so high points. We don't like to call them low points, but you know, we're nice folks. And then we're just kind of give you some thoughts on some of the stuff that we may have picked up along the way. And then we'll be closing out the show. So I'm really excited. We have a couple of comments here. Look at here. I am so excited. Andy Harrow. Hey guys, I just saw you guys yesterday. It was so cool, Andy, to spend this weekend with you and getting to know you better.
Awesome. Hope you enjoyed Downtown Disney, Andy, and had a good day.
Yep. Also, Lily, so glad to see you. Hopefully you'll enjoy the show tonight. Lily, did you make it up to WonderCon? If you did, I didn't get a chance to see you. Hopefully we'll see you at San Diego Comic-Con, if not. But we're going to start off. We're going to start right up front because I know that, Angela, we haven't seen you probably – well, we saw you. We saw you on St. Patrick's Day, my friend.
Yes, and Halloween. I'm getting out to see you guys more. I love the company that you keep. So I see you. I see you in life, but I haven't seen you in this space in a minute. So,
yeah. Well, Angel, I would love to know, just right up front, what are some of your general thoughts about the convention this past weekend?
It was enjoyable. It reminded me of like pre-COVID WonderCon, I thought anyway. That's how I felt when I was there, the vibe, the energy, and just people mingling and then, you know, dancing in their cosplay. It just felt like olden days, which I think we all missed. So yeah. I don't know. How'd you guys feel about it? Did it feel like olden days or what?
I just got a note from my friend Greg, who flew out from Chattanooga to attend his. He just texted me just this second. He just got back to Nashville, so he's back east now.
Glad you're safe, Greg.
Yep, and I hope he is too. Greg, thanks for coming. What about you, Jake?
No, I'd agree with you, Angela. You go in there, and it did kind of feel like it was going back in time a little bit to some of the prior conventions. And like for me, this is going to be embarrassing. It was my first con since 2016.
No.
Yeah.
Someone yank out the meat hook. Get out of here.
But pull the band-aid off, time to get there.
Yeah. And what I loved about this WonderCon was this is one of the like more recent times where they didn't have it the same, like they didn't have it the Easter holiday weekend, which was always one of the things that blocked my ability to go because I always had like travel plans already set for that or anything like that. So it really freed things up to just spend as much time there as I possibly could, which I loved.
Nice. It was really cool. Like so you came, which day you were down. So Jake, you spent all day Sunday down there, which was really cool.
Saturday.
You were all day Saturday. And Angela, how much of the weekend were you there?
I got there Friday evening, checked out a couple of panels, and then all day Saturday and like an hour and a half on Sunday before heading out of town.
Basically the whole weekend.
Next year I'm gonna get the hotel straight through Monday, so I don't miss important panels like yours. You guys had them on Sunday, and I don't want to miss it again next year.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give my general consensus is that I think that this is pretty much a return to form for WonderCon. I was pretty impressed with the panel lineup. At first, full disclosure, I was like, it seems kind of light, but then I started going through and I've got it here. Like, as far as like big entertainment properties, there were a lot of things in the arena of The Walking Dead, the new True Lies show, Wolfpack from Paramount Plus, thing after thing after thing. Andy says, Jake, I didn't see you in the arena next to James Luke. Yeah, Andy was sitting right in front of us, Jake, and Jake was...
you're saying, didn't I see you? Yes, you did, Andy. That answers your question. Yeah.
Sorry.
That was me two panels for the closer seats in the press row.
Oops. And I think all of us got pretty good seats up front there. The thing that I noticed, I would say that it did still seem at times a little bit more lightly attended. Not all times, but especially Friday. But wow, we got to see so much, and that the convention floor was packed. I mean, packed from side to side, going from back and forth. I did a live stream on the Instagram one day, and it took me quite a while to get across the convention floor. So I was super happy with that. I was super happy with the convention. There were hiccups is what I meant to say. Yeah, I had a few hookups.
I didn't stay at the Hilton, so I didn't know about that side of the convention.
But overall, I'd give it a pretty high grade. Cheeseman.
Like you said, Friday seemed a little slower, but usually, I mean, that is kind of the case with Friday. Friday is the lightest day, I'd say, out of the 3 days. Saturday really did pick up. That looked like there was good traffic on the floor. There was a good bit of vendors there, which was encouraging, and it seemed very full, which that was great. A good bit of panels and all that, but it definitely not as big as like the old days where like they were kind of treating it more like it was Comic-Con, where you'd have like a movie like 21 Jump Street come in, or Warner Brothers like debuting like horror movie type panels and other things, or like the Wonder Woman kind of stuff they were doing kind of not too long ago. The arena definitely seemed a lot less crowded. The floor area was completely packed, and then you're kind of going to those upper levels, especially for a panel like Walking Dead and all that. But it really was a lot lighter in the arena, but maybe because people wanted to go more to some of these other panels or the floor area and stuff. But I was expecting more in the arena, which I didn't see. And then Sunday, there was still a good bit of people there and traffic and all that. But I wouldn't say it's pre-pandemic yet, but I'd say maybe like 70% or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
70, I would say. And the tickets didn't sell out and all that either, which says a lot as well, especially for Saturday.
Yeah, I think it was the energy of the crowds, especially because Saturday was a big day that I was seeing felt like pre pre-pandemic days, but you're right. The arena, I had even texted you guys right before because, you know, girl don't do lines. And I was like, is it going to be jammed all in the arena? And you know what? There was a lot of wiggle room, I will say. But hopefully it's because that program was packed. There were a lot of conflicting, you know, programs, a lot of things stacked in the same hours. So, you know, it's hard to tell, but
a lot of overlap. Angelo, the day that you were coming down, the thing that was odd is because what was in the arena the previous day? On Friday in the arena was the Wolfpack panel, which was decently full, but not packed. Like, I was pretty surprised because they had the full cast from the show in there. Sarah Michelle Gellar did not show up, and she's kind of like the queen of the show. So that was kind of like a big letdown. A lot of people thought that she might be showing up. But
for those of us that missed that panel, is that for a new show coming out, The Wolfpack?
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a werewolf show on Paramount Plus, and it's a show. Wait, is it out? I think it's already out.
Yeah, it's already out, and it's made by the same creator as Teen Wolf. But I don't think it's part of the universe. Like, it's not connected. It's its own thing, but I don't even think it's like in the same universe, because they did talk about bringing some crossover, some of the actors into it, which if it does get the season two, they weren't quite confirming if there would be a season two, but I think
they were strongly hoping all through the panel.
But I think things are going decent with it. So that it probably hopefully will be.
I do have to say this though, that panel, the Wolfpack panel, my first thought was, okay, I'm going to say something that sounds so demeaning. It's not meant to, but I was saying, oh, another CW supernatural, like werewolf or vampire show, which is, I mean, I guess they're pretty good, but I didn't want that. But I saw the previews that they were showing us. It's a pretty brutal, scary horror show that I'm actually going to check out now. The scenes that they showed us were pretty cool.
Definitely did have some of those like Lost Boys type vibes, and you know, like being a group, because it's called Wolfpack, and there's multiple kind of like teen type actors that are all part of this Wolfpack, so they all kind of transform into kind of the werewolves and stuff. So it has a little bit of that Lost Boys being the vampires that kind of are like in the town kind of a thing.
But when Angela texted us on Saturday to say, hey, what time are you guys going to get in line for the arena? I just thought, Friday was kind of light, so I thought, okay, maybe it was like, I didn't know how to answer you, Angela. I was like, well, yesterday wasn't much of a wait, but I said get there 15 minutes ahead of time, and you didn't really even need that. I mean, it kind of,
in fact, you guys forgot about it. I ran into you, and you're like, and you did a U-turn.
I didn't realize
we were fine.
Yeah, the silly thing is I didn't realize, because I've fallen off a little of the radar of The Walking Dead, which now I want to get a little more into it after being this panel. I didn't realize the Dead City thing was, you know, Maggie and Negan, and had kind of some of that original cast type in it. I thought it was maybe some other kind of spinoff, because I saw that other one that they did, which I wasn't a big fan of. What was that one called?
Fear of the Walking Dead or World Beyond? Fear of the Walking Dead.
No, what was the other one, Jake?
World Beyond.
World Beyond.
Yeah.
The teenagers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, not it had a different vibe. It wasn't my favorite. I still watched it because I'm a fan of the universe, right? So I still watched it. I did fall off, like Cheeseman said, I fell off, you know, a few seasons behind in Fear of the Walking Dead. And then, of course, I mean, I know we're not in favorite moments yet, but I'm telling you that I'm going to be watching Walking Dead Dead City, because that trailer they showed was hot.
Mm-hmm. It was very cinematic.
Falling off skyscrapers. That's all you had to do.
Yeah, and the cinematography just looked very cinematic and all that too. So
yeah, they upped their game, I think. And has it, like I said, it's New York City. So whether or not people are dead, whether or not it's the apocalypse, it just has that edge that you won't get from the other cities that they set the other shows up in, you know. So,
and it's legit New York.
That's right. I gotta represent. I'm from the Bronx. I'm going to support walkers in the big city.
Hey guys, we are going to move into our favorite things, but before we do, I just want to say, Jonathan said Dead City, he can't wait. Hey Jonathan, it's awesome to see you, my friend. Hey,
hello, buddy.
We're going to do two things before we move into our favorite things. Keep everybody on the edge of the seats. First, Lily says that she was not able to attend because it was the weekend before her birthday. So Lily, to that we say,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Lily. And second,
we're going to talk about the candles on that one.
So the one thing that that one are kind of so well known for is you're very much welcome. One thing that we love about WonderCon is that it allows for some pretty expressive cosplay. And I have seen Angela there with some pretty crazy cosplay, including the your Walking Dead cosplay with the birthing baby was probably one of my favorites. What we're going to do is we're going to look at a little bit at cosplay here, and we can talk along while we do it as well. So just to let you guys know right up front, it's going to seem a little bit... Oh, it's a lot of pictures of Cheeseman. But that's because what we did is Cheeseman, he got his best Joker face on, and we went around and took a picture.
Joker face.
A lot of people. So, yeah. For those of you listening, we will try to not make this section really long since you can't really see it. But you should be watching. All right, here we go. So this is a... I love the Stranger Things?
Danae, the area out by the fountain where like everyone in cosplay was congregating, that was packed.
Yeah,
like to the gills Saturday for sure. Like never a small crowd out there.
I know the thing that was so great about like Jake, what you said, that's where they had all of their meetups. In just a second, we're gonna have a couple of pictures from one of the big DC meetups.
Oh, there's two of many Mandalorians.
Yep,
many. There we go.
There you are, Angela. And there, ah. That's awesome. With Luke and Batman.
Every variety of Batman from Keaton to Pattinson. And there's
hundreds of cosplayers. It was great. And this was also part
Did
of
Did you
that,
see the wingspan of that? Was it Hawkman?
Yeah. Here's that Bane dude. Breaking wow. Batman's back. Yeah. So great. One of the many Harleys with Luke, I mean, Cheeseman. Double Joker's here. I love the gun he's got here.
Looks like a Derringer, small something.
Teen Titans.
Yeah. I
love it. And guess who this is? That's the cast of the boys.
Yep.
Darkwing. I'm sorry, Nightwing. Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck. Catwoman.
There's a great Catwoman outfit.
Too. Great.
She sewed that herself, she said. And here, of course.
I remember seeing this Dr. Octopus. Yeah,
oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Many indies.
Lots of indie. Many indie
yes.
Well, I love that. So I don't. What was the thing in the lady in the background? That's another version. Oh, here's the Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, how did I miss this? This is that's my jam right there.
Oh, some demented.
Oh, he looks like an Arkham Joker. He's very good.
I love this from Moon Knight. The tall.
Here's Khonshu on stilts.
Yes.
There were a few cosplayers in stilts. I was impressed.
There's Doc Brown and Clara Clayton, who just
There's a lot of Disney cosplay, I'd say.
This actress was very on top of things. Great, she's a disabled actress and just really putting herself out there. I love that she was doing that.
When you're next door to Disneyland, it makes sense.
Look at this guy, man!
Yeah, you got to hit a pose.
She looks so
remarkable. This is, there's some really great.
Yeah,
Let's see.
Almost to the end here. Here's
our amazing
3D printed every piece of that Iron Man suit and put it together. Here's the Emperor. I love it.
You need some sunscreen.
So that helmet of that C-3PO / Darth Vader was signed by Anthony Daniels himself. Here's the new Doctor Strange with the eye in the middle of his forehead. I love that. I don't know what those are.
But they're cool.
They're cool. Princess Leia's slave costume.
Love it.
Dude. Some more of the Iron Man Brigade. We're almost to the end here for those of you
who
are listening.
Drone suits if you want to do. Chainsaw Head thing.
You just made
it's an anime.
No,
I got familiar with that. But it's
okay.
Yeah.
It's a Darth Maul type. That's one of the Mauls.
A Maul rat.
What is that character? That's from.
I think it was like an anime type.
Character, I think. Some Cruella and Cyclops.
And I think that's our... So that gives you kind of a taste of some of the cosplay. Angela, I didn't see you cosplay this weekend.
No, not... I'm itching to do it, though. So maybe at Comic-Con when we're there for like a five-day spread, I think I'm going to rehash some of my Lord of the Rings maybe my Hobbit costume or whatever. I don't know. Okay. I always get inspired when I'm there. Did you guys see the Mr. Rogers pulling his trolley? Yes. That was fun.
I did see Mr.
Yeah.
Rogers.
Hey, Luke, you have that picture, don't you? Or do I? I'd love to pull that up.
Oh, the Mr. Rogers? Yeah. I don't think.
Okay. Yeah, no. We'll have it before the end of the show. I think I have it in my phone here.
Is it too low tech to hold a picture up to the screen? Is that a phone?
No, we do that all the time.
Okay.
You've got it,
Jay. You know, podcasts like that.
What I have to say is what I think there'll be a lot of this year is there'll be my predictions, because we already kind of saw it at this con, would be like lots of Indiana Jones, lots of The Last of Us, because I did see some clickers out there. And
yes,
a lot of laughs. And then there was another one I was thinking of that I saw
a lot of Star Lords, like many Star Lords, Peter Quill's. Short jackets, long jackets, with Gamoras, without Gamoras. Yeah.
It wasn't me this time. Usually I have my Star-Lord costume, but with the hair being longer, I didn't know as many things I could do. So I was like, yeah, I'll do Joker again. I haven't done that in like 10 years.
If you'll allow me, two of my favorite cosplays. One was Statler and Waldorf from The Muppet Show. They found a spot in the
balcony. I love that.
That's perfect.
No joke. I think they stayed there the entire day Saturday and just
took
pictures for people. And they would have the heads off and put them on as soon as they saw someone taking a photo and pose. The other one was, this was a guy who also wants cardboard and resin, Chicken Walker, AT-ST from Return of the Jedi. Most of that's cardboard.
Yeah.
And you could walk in, he'd walk around and the legs did the correct motion, which
that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. What I love is also I saw a lot of family cosplay. So when you see the kids and the parents dressed like as a cohesive theme, it's pretty awesome.
Sorry. We just left Jake.
I commandeered the show for a second.
All right, so here.
Yes, Angela, I saw those too. Not necessarily.
Did you see the little girl from Encanto, and she had her parent or her dad that was playing Bruno, and then they had the R2-D2 robot. They were playing the song "We Don't Talk About Bruno," coming out of the R2-D2. While the Encanto characters were dancing, I'm like, what is life right now? I love WonderCon.
I loved it. Okay, here we go. This is the Mr. Rogers and his trolley.
Wow.
Amazing.
I loved Amazing. It.
And a King Friday.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it's a little.
All right. So we are now going to head in. Let's talk about our favorite things about the weekend. The things that really soared, that set it apart, that kind of like made this a WonderCon that we love. And we're going to start with Jake on this one, and we'll let Jake tell us about the things that stood out for him.
I mean, to be honest, you guys might have some additional thoughts on this, but even before arriving at the con, I downloaded the app, signed up for it, and then was able to navigate the schedule pretty well and the My Schedule pretty well and find things really, really easily and keep track of things and just like know how much time I had between each panel, which was really handy for me. So I would give them an A+ on that. I always just love the cosplay courtyards, because I love like if I'm ever at like a Halloween party or something, it's just always fun to see what people use to make the costumes or more creative like combos and mashups that they do. If it's going to be like a Mandalorian noir or something like that and a trench coat.
I mean, what it's really done in the past 10 years is just unbelievable, because it's like, a lot of us grew up going to a costume store and you got these, you get the costume store version, but now with Amazon, with websites, and now with a lot of these people with 3D printers, they're making like legit looking costumes.
Yes, absolutely. Like, yeah, it's incredible. And there was something else. I'll remember it later, but and then once you're actually like the floor itself, it's just so much fun to get lost there and then to just notice some things where it's like, oh my gosh, I had this as a child. Like I mentioned this that night, but I was literally walking around and someone was selling things from the 1950s. And one of them was a toy made of tin, and it was the Roy Rogers Double R Bar Ranch house. that my father had in the 50s that he passed on to us that we played with back in the 80s and 90s. And wow. I think it's still somewhere in my parents' house back in Ohio, but it's something I haven't seen in decades. And that was wow. just like a time machine seeing that in person. So some of that stuff is just incredible. And I love seeing all that stuff.
That's what was cool. your floor technique, Jake? Did you like start somewhere? You do the zigzag or go one end to the other? Or?
So I walked in and was like, oh boy. And I turned immediately to the right, away from the end. Because on the far left over here was where the entrance was for people purchasing tickets that day. So I went over to the opposite side and just started like going up the aisles, like, I don't know directions inside that place, one way. And then I started doing it horizontal the other way. And it would just kind of go back and forth. I'm sure I didn't see anything, but trust me, maybe I covered 70 to 75% of that floor. I tried a system and then abandoned it after, you know, 2 hours.
Yeah, you get distracted, get lost because you end up at different booths and then get a little disoriented.
Also, one of the other booths, Paul Rugg, the famous voice actor from Animaniacs, Freakazoid, Hysteria, a lot of the cartoons that I grew up watching in the early 90s, along with my parents, was this.
Whoops, breaking up, Jake.
Voice messages. And if my mother or father watching this or see this later on, I have to apologize because I failed to get Paul Rugg to leave a voice message yelling Freundleben, because that was a line from Animaniacs that has a special place in our family. Sorry, Mom.
Paul Rugg, not to be confused with Paul Rudd, the perpetually handsome and young Ant-Man.
Not to be confused with the star of Quantumania. No. Rugg, R-U-G-G. Anyway, that's my take. I like those.
Your fun stuff. All good stuff. Yeah.
Angela, what about you?
Oh gosh, I'm such a sucker for walking the floor at a convention. I keep, you know, I'll see a lot of the same vendors, but you always still want to look and touch and talk to them. I will talk to every vendor, but my strategy is sort of doing the middle section. So I do the middle section. I go all the way to the back, up the aisle, down the aisle, all of that. And then I will go and look at Artist Alley.
Yep.
At all the art there. And the very last thing I'll look at is the comic side, because I like to buy comics, but I never read them. So I have a huge stack taking up a lot of space in my apartment. And I also have a lot of art already that I haven't framed or hung up. So it's just like, I know I can collect them. So I kind of just save those for, you know, for later. But that's always my favorite part at a convention. The other part is just talking to people. Everyone is just so excited and happy to talk to you. So I've made friends there, and friends you're going to see in July at San Diego Comic-Con and you know, a little bit later in the year at all these later conventions at the end of the year. So I love doing that. And then I think that's really my favorite part, mixing and mingling. And of course, like, the panels are there. I'll load up my schedule with tons of panels, and I'll only go to 15% of them. Does that happen to you guys too? You're so ambitious. Yeah, you're so ambitious. Like, go here, I'm gonna go there, then I'm gonna take a 17-minute lunch break. No, none of that happened. But I did pop into some great panels that were helpful to, you know, what I'm trying to do in life right now. And I think when I'm there, I just absorb everything. I'm like someone injected me with nerd crack. Like, I'm that excited to be there. And it's still like, you know, it's still in me, if you can tell. It's Monday night, and I'm still acting as if I'm at WonderCon this past weekend.
Yes. I don't know if you guys know this, but nerd crack is made from kyber crystals.
There's variants, but yes. Okay.
Jeez, man.
Look, hey, my mom's watching. She liked the pictures.
Hi,
Mom.
I met your mom years ago while we were recording a podcast episode.
Yeah, she came to the studio. Hello.
All right, Cheese Man, let's hear what your highlights were. What were your favorites?
Like we're saying, I mean, the floor is always kind of like a big highlight because there's a lot of like nostalgic type things. So like, I definitely roam there. I'll show those things in a second. Are we showing what we got yet? Or are we kind of?
No, we'll save that towards the end.
Yeah, I'll save that towards the end.
If that's your favorite stuff, you can show in that.
Yeah. But I didn't, kind of like Angela said, you know, you make a plan to go to all these panels, but then you kind of end up doing some other things or meeting people or roaming the floor, but I did hit some major ones. Did go here to the Wolfpack panel that we mentioned before. So,
hey, don't change that. I want to know if people know who the kid all the way on the right hand side of this picture is. Anybody? He's in the show Wolfpack, and he's a supernatural being, and his name is Chase Liefeld. You know that name, Jake? Luke, take it away.
Take it away. It's the son of the creator of Deadpool. Is that correct?
Rob Liefeld's kid.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So he's looks like he's been doing pretty good acting. And yeah, so that was a fun panel. And again, with the arena not being kind of at the capacity it was pretty easy to get kind of like good seats there. And they showed a lot of content and clips, which was nice, which, you know, definitely like I hadn't really seen this show, but definitely gave me more interest in kind of checking it out. Cause again, was saying it kind of had a little bit of that Lost Boys kind of vibe, but more like this lost group of friends and stuff. But, and they also talked about like, I guess when they did Teen Wolf, they did a lot of, contacts, but with technology. And as you're seeing with like Snapchat and all these filters, they're able to do a lot of the tracking stuff. So they're able to do digital eyes glowing and things. So actors can focus more on their performances. Because I guess these contacts are really thick a lot of times. They really irritate actors' eyes. So luckily with some of these special effects things, it's helping actors be able to more just focus on their performance and all that. But yeah, it was an interesting panel. They brought up a lot of cool stuff and talked even about, you know, making the faces when you become the werewolf and stuff and how this group of actors really kind of like nailed the right way to kind of do their thing and stuff. So Jeff Davis, the creator, was very happy with this cast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, on Saturday we mentioned we went to the Walking Dead panel. It was really cool to see Maggie.
Well, there we go.
Or Cohen there.
I love her. She's such a great actress.
Yeah. And Chris Hardwick back moderating and then had like a new cast member and one of the lead writers. So again, you know, was able to get good seats. Cause like, when you go to Comic-Con, like seeing a Walking Dead panel is like nearly impossible because you have to camp out all night. You got to do the whole Hall H thing. So
yeah, that's why Angela was saying, hey, how soon like- do I need to get there?
Yeah. So it's really like, yeah, like, really awesome thing to be able to get that close. And then I showed some exclusive clips and some, and then when we saw Fear the Walking Dead, they even showed kind of the intro to the show. And then Kim Dickens is back on the show, which was part of the first, you know, couple seasons. And then she kind of disappeared there for a while, but now is back, which the fans are very excited about. And Jenna Elfman was there. And of course, I mean, she's always lovely and great personality, but they also talked about, you know, really her being a comedic actress, hadn't, you know, people see her as a comedic actor, you know, being part of Dharma Greg and all that, which she's glad obviously she had, but this show brought a level of like drama that she was able to do and play kind of a different part and really stretch herself. And she was very happy that the writers kind of believed in her and the showrunners and all that. So she was very excited to do a show like Walking Dead, just to be able to show a little more range in her acting. And yeah, there's just one more actress there, Christina Evangelista.
Yep.
She was there as well. And then of course, you know, we talked about, I dressed up as like the Joker and the fact that we just kind of, I had no idea when the DC meetup thing was happening or that it was even happening. We were actually looking down from like, we had that bird's eye view thing. Cause if you go to the third floor, which I'm showing here, you can kind of look down and this is that moment where like, wait a second, that's the DC characters right there.
It's a vertigo inducing balcony. It is so high up above the
it's plaza like there. Three stories up, very high, but we noticed it was the
DC. Oh, it's higher than three stories. It's three floors, but it's about 300 feet up there.
Oh, yeah. No, those floors are massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that view. I don't know why I've never seen it until this past weekend. You get a perfect view of all the hungry cosplayers at all the food trucks.
Yep.
Awesome. So yeah, we're able to like sneak down quickly. We didn't get part of the full.
I see someone I know.
This is the one here. This looks like all the male DC characters. So I got to be part of that one. I got to be part of like a full Gotham one, and then
actually, I see an old friend right there. He cosplays as Wonder Woman, so you can see in the front row.
Oh yeah,
right there. Yeah.
Cover up.
It's pretty awesome.
going full man chest on that.
I know that that was a Wonder Woman. That was a topless Wonder Woman. So.
And of course, you know, like we had our panel, which I'm sure we'll talk a little more about, but the Power Ranger panel we did, and we ended up having, you know, five actors come in, and then Abraham came in fashionably late, as he does sometimes. I actually have that clip if you want me to show it.
I would love to see the clip. I'm going to see the clip. Okay. So here's the clip of Abraham entering. Okay, let's talk about it real quick. Announce it, Luke. Let's just show, since this is we're talking about, let's just, here's the panel that we had advertised. We had to switch out a couple of the actors who were in the panel. Mm-hmm. Brennan was there. Patrick David was there. Philip Andrew was there. Peter had to drop out, and then Roger was sick that day. And Abraham was there, but then we were able to get Christopher
Lee,
who was also from which season was he?
He was part of.
I think he was the same.
He was part of the same as Roger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which was let's just say he was a lightning bolt of energy on the panel.
Oh yeah, it quickly became not a PG panel. It was a
My god, he did not respect the whole people under 18
family on this Power Ranger panel.
All right, so here's Abraham.
All right, guys, thank you so much for coming to the panel. So,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Abraham Rodriguez from Power Rangers Beast Morphers. He played Nate Silva and the Gold Grid Battle Force Ranger in 2019 to 2020. He got stuck in traffic, and it's now a tradition that he shows up late to our panels. It is classic Abraham.
When you guys were here last year, I did the same thing, but I was a little earlier.
Yeah.
Hello!
Hello! So, hey, yeah, well, so you've also appeared in Tosh.0, Saved by the Bell, the reboot on Peacock, The Terminalist on Amazon, and Free Ridge on Netflix, and I believe you are in the upcoming thriller Exposure, is that correct? Yeah. There's your intro.
That's me, Beast Morphers Gold! Woo! Can I steal this?
You want to say just a couple words before we open it up to questions?
Oh, I don't even know, I'm just out of breath. Well, thank you guys so much for being here, first of all. Doing these cons is just so much fun. It's such a blast. It's great to be here with my Ranger family. And yeah, let's get some questions going.
All right, young man, please.
Fantastic.
I love how they each had their helmets.
Yeah. Well, they bring them a lot for their signing, so it's kind of become a tradition that they'll like bring their helmets. Although Cameron Gibo one time had his silver jacket he wore on the show, and then he actually hung that in front of his placard on the stage.
Yeah, that was. I tell you what, those Power Rangers panels. Whoops. Never mind. Susie, we were wondering, but it's awesome that you're here. Glad to see you. But Luke, what'd you think of the panel overall?
Well, like you're saying, I mean, the Power Ranger panels are always very entertaining. It's very lively. Sometimes you go to panels and, you know, it's very serious or different things, or your show's newer or it's a new season or there's new characters and they just can't really talk about a lot. But the fact that everything's kind of in the past and this is all kind of about the fandom thing, you can really share some stories, get some behind the scenes. We always open it up for Q&A so fans can ask questions. But like if you've been to the Indigo Room, like where you're at San Diego Comic-Con, a lot of those Adult Swim, it's like they're very like lively panels and just big personalities. Mm. But anytime you get a group of Power Rangers, it's like being at like a family reunion. Because even though like they've been on different seasons throughout the year, there's this big Ranger family. Like you can have somebody from like the first few seasons that's friends with the newest season. And it's just, they do so many different conventions and have so much crossover. And even like Abraham might have just met somebody for the first time there on stage. Was, hey, just giving them a big hug. But they're just so animated. And then there's a lot of crossover sometimes on the show. So Brennan and Abraham had been on kind of the same season as Brennan made an appearance on his. So then Brennan was giving him a little fun banter as he walked in, like, all right, well, we're done. The panel's over, you know. So there's a lot of good chemistry between the people. And even like Brennan will sometimes even do stunts on stage for people.
Yeah, he'll hear him walk into a flip, or he'll get up on top of one of the other Power Rangers and do an acrobatic handstand on their shoulders or something. It's not allowed, but it's awesome to watch. It's kind of cool. But what Luke was saying, the thing that's kind of unique about this fandom. 30 years long, a new cast every few years, and they just all love each other. They do have this family atmosphere, and that's because they do Power Morphicon together, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But it is something that's really cool to see. It's cool to see how the fans react.
Right, to Wheel of Jake again.
We'll be back. In and out with Jake. So, anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But Luke, I think you have a few more things that you're wanting to show us before we move on, right?
I mean, I just had our panel stuff, but
we'll talk about. Okay, we can talk about that towards the end, if that's okay with you.
But I mean, I do have things I bought, but I don't know if we're there
yet. So do I.
Oh, look, there's Jay.
Hi. Jay. I teleported to a new location that hopefully has a better signal.
Yeah.
Yay. Good.
Luke, any besides your panel, anything else about your favorite parts of WonderCon?
I mean, we did do LobbyCon. That was something I'm sure you'll probably talk about
more. We're going to talk about LobbyCon, yeah.
Yeah, but LobbyCon is kind of like, I mean, once people are kind of like feel like they're done for the day, or even during the day, if you need a break, a lot of people go to the lobbies of the Marriott and the Hilton to kind of hang out. So if you're looking to network, you can see some of the people that were panelists there, or sometimes some of the actors are there just hanging out, or just your buddies. You just go meet your buddies there.
Or Mr. Rogers in a bar, which was...
Yeah. Which makes some of the entertaining pictures. You can drink with your favorite characters.
Yeah.
I was chatting it up with the Zoop Nazi for a while.
Yes, you were.
But yeah, I have to confess something. I of course I felt amazing. I've only caught episodes here and there. I would have to go back and binge it all, but I wouldn't have known that was who it was. I was just talking to another fellow actor. So I didn't know. But he was dope.
I did want to say, we're talking about LobbyCon.
Larry was a nice man, not a superman.
That was one of my favorite things. Larry's okay, cool. So when we talk about LobbyCon, every night when the convention ends, Friday and Saturday night especially, and sometimes Thursday night if you're one of the exhibitors or you get there early, you go to the lobby mainly of the Hilton if you want to meet folks in the industry, people that are displaying at tables, exhibitors, people in the panels. If you are interested in being in the industry, networking with folks in the industry, just getting to know them better, meeting comic book writers and artists, go to the Hilton lobby, or also right across the street to the Marriott lobby. And we call it LobbyCon. And everybody, there were even t-shirts this year talk about LobbyCon.
I saw. Is that new? Are those t-shirts new? I don't remember seeing them before.
I had never seen those t-shirts before, but I want to copyright LobbyCon just so we can make t-shirts like that. But anyways.
That group, I was going to grab a seat, an open seat someplace, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we're saving this whole spot for our LobbyCon group. And they had matching t-shirts.
Yes.
And wow. I was like, all right, if you're listening, if you're listening and you're part of that LobbyCon group, we need four t-shirts stat, like right now.
Andy says LobbyCon was a lot of fun. I love it. And it also happens in San Diego, mainly at the Hilton Bayfront lobby, in around their lobby bar, their restaurant and things right out there on the water. So that's another spot during San Diego. But and WonderCon, I tell you what, LobbyCon is probably one of the most look forward to events of the con for those of us who are staying there. So I just think it's great. I love LobbyCon. I'm glad you brought that up, Luke. What else? Anything, Luke?
What else? No pressure at all.
Okay, let me go from here. I'll take it. Pass the baton.
Let me ask this real quick. I know, Angela, did you catch the Quantum Leap panel, which was right after Fear the Walking Dead?
I didn't, but I love me some good time travel, and I wish I had gone.
What was it like?
Tell us. Was it awesome?
That one was more full of people than the two previous Walking Dead panels right before it. And I know the people around me were huge fans. There was some people were fighting over front row seats, but there are also people who were like using their giant Funko bags to save seats, which other people were not huge fans of, because the Funko panel was right after that with all the giveaways and stuff like that, which is like...
Well,
that.
I think when you reboot a show, you don't just get a new audience, but you get those who watched the original. And that is a big draw for their, you know, viewership, I think. So I'm not surprised that it was more packed or well-attended than The Walking Dead. I mean, I am a diehard Walking Dead original you know, show fan. So I will watch all of them all the time. However, you know, the original show, the main show, Walking Dead, ended this past year. So, like, I think you're going to start to see fans sort of, like, fall off or rejoin it over time and things like that. But with Quantum Leap, it's a new show. There's new hype, and it's also a reboot. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But, no, someone even said that on a microphone. They said, I used to watch this with my family back in the late 80s, and now my family, we all watch this together, and the cast loved hearing that because they were like, oh, it's so good to hear that families are watching it together and not on individual screens and stuff. But
it's a NBC show. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know. I wasn't alive in the 80s. That's a lie. but yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
89.
But what kind of things did they talk about, Jake? Like, did they go into kind of detail of the kind of the past season, about favorite episodes, or were they kind of more talking about the future and being kind of like they are walking
more the future? They've got like just a couple of episodes before the finale, so they were hinting at some things to come. They showed one of the opening scenes of I think the next episode that was coming up, nice. Where Ben leaps to a plane in the 70s and plays one of the flight attendants on it. So, you know, it's at great cool. times where the leaper ends up in, you know, a woman's body and has to adjust to that accordingly. But it was good. And then the current producer was there. And then Deborah Pratt, the creator of the original show, is also there too, just talking about it and so appreciative of everyone's love. So
very cool.
Good stuff. Nice. And good she even... She brought. She's the voice of Ziggy in the original show too, in the opening narration. And she brought one of the handheld light up things that Al would use when he was checking Ziggy to verify where Sam had been. So she had one of those. I don't know if it was an original prop or probably a fan made thing, but she had one on her person. It was cool.
Nice.
All right. I will give my top moments real quick here. I've written them down. One, when I first walked into I'm like you, Angela, I love the floor. I do love doing as many panels as I can possibly fit into a day. And I circle 15 of them. And if I get to them, fine. If not, some of them I'm disappointed on. They're, you know, I loved the 90s panel, a decade that changed it all. And we talked about comic books and TV shows of the 90s and how they affect how it changed the way the industry was run. And that was super interesting. It was also in that panel that I found out that Comixology is on shaky financial ground and may not be around in a year or two. That, do not quote me on that. I heard it in the panel. I hope that's not true. So, but anyways, I also, here's some things I love. LobbyCon I loved. I was going to absolutely call out LobbyCon. It's one of my favorite things. Hanging out with Larry Thomas, AKA the Soup Nazi from Seinfeld, was very cool. I felt bad because we hung out with him very, very, very late on Saturday night. And then the booth where we were doing the Power Rangers signings was right across from him on Sunday. And let's just say he didn't show up for a while. And I went over and said, Larry, is that because you were partying with us last night? He goes, oh my gosh, I could not get up.
How are you going to call a man out on that on a live stream?
I have met.
No drinks for you.
I'm here for you. Larry was great. He was
fantastic. He's cool.
It's so much fun to hang out. And I know, Angela, you were talking shop with him, talking acting chop.
Yes, yes. What a smart. Yeah, and this is coming from a person who had never met him or didn't. I wasn't that familiar with his work. Of course, I know who or what the character of Soup Nazi is, but I actually wasn't familiar with his work. But talking to him, I'm definitely going to check out his stuff. We talked a little bit about his favorite roles that he's played throughout the decades. And, yeah, I'm a fan of Larry's and soon to be a fan of the Soup Nazis. So.
And I'm sure that he loved that. Because he loves talking about his whole breadth of his career. And so, and he's very proud of his Seinfeld part, but he's done so much more besides that. So it's really, it was cool to hear you and him.
And he was picking the theater before that, he was saying. And then he kind of, a friend of his kind of got him the job on there or something, and he was doing more small theater stuff. And then,
and this was the conversation we'd be talking about. Okay, so we're, you know, you trained here. Yes. And at that time, my teacher, and then someone go, hey, what's your favorite recipe from your book? And then, and then we talk shop again, and then someone would be like, Soup Nazi, take a selfie. So it was just, it was really funny that we'd resume the conversation, but
yeah.
That was fun.
Lizzie, sorry.
Lily V.
Lily Z. I love the suit Nazi. Yeah, he was great. He was a lot of fun. So here's
the only Nazi you're allowed to love.
I know. When I was promoting the show today, I was even hesitant. Should I put the name? I put suit Nazi in the show, you know, description of the show. I'm like, should I do that? Are we gonna get banned? I just don't. You just never know these days. But here's what else I liked. I loved when I got there on Friday. I walked the show floor first, and when I was a little kid. During the 70s, there was this line of, yes, during the 70s, there was this line of toys called Micronauts. There's a comic book line that goes along with them. And a couple of years ago, they came out with brand new Micronauts toys. But in the 70s, my favorite toy was my Biotron. And I found a Biotron on the floor there. In the 70s, it cost $6, which was expensive. The one on the floor was $450, so I left it there. I did not get it, but boy, oh boy, did I want to pick that up. Anyways.
Wait, Jim, what do you mean? Like little almonds and walnuts? Micronuts? What?
Oh, wait. Let me show you. I got one right here.
Micronuts. Like
it's a nuts. I was like, oh, like little walnuts and pistachio transformer types.
No, Jim's going to eat that as a kitty.
Sorry.
From Ring Pops.
Let's see it.
Here's the box.
I think we're moving on. Are we moving on to the section of favorite things we bought?
No.
I think we might be.
So this is a toy that and that's a Micronaut. And here is what they look like. Yes, I am a grown man with little.
Wait, did you just buy that? Is that new?
Yeah, did you buy that at the con?
No, that was from years ago. I'm just showing you what a Micronaut is.
Oh, that's what's on.
He doesn't want to drop. Yeah, okay. $450 is a little rich for anyone's blood, no?
Worth my blood. Yeah, I just want to know they're not nuts in a bowl. All
right, okay, got it.
So real quick, there's that. During our panel, when the question was asked of all the Power Rangers, if you could have Power Rangers do a crossover with any other fandom, what would it be? Of course, some said, you know, Avengers, some said Justice League, some said other things. Abraham's answer was the best. Abraham said he would like for the Power Rangers to do a crossover with the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
That's very specific. Not Orange County, New Jersey.
Not DC either. On
the Housewives, they would win. It's all you say. Also, last two things. Luke, can you – wait, I got it right here. The picture – this right here. If you're looking – I'm looking at the picture down from the balcony, down in between where the food trucks are, and they've always done a great job of lining food trucks in front, not always, but in the past like 5 or 6 years, they brought the food trucks into WonderCon, and it's great. This year, they added picnic tables, which was a very needed thing. They lined picnic tables all down throughout where the food trucks were so people could have a place to sit. Wow, that made such a big difference. People hung out there. I thought that was great. And my most favorite thing about this convention, my friend Greg, I'm throwing him under the bus. He came from Chattanooga. He showed up and he had some bad news for me. At his last Comic-Con, we went to a comic book meetup and we met Marv Wolfman and we talked with Marv Wolfman. Then I went to a panel and listened to Marv Wolfman talk about creating Teen Titans and the miniseries on Raven. Love the man. One of my favorite all-time comic book creators and writers. And Greg goes, Jim, Marv Wolfman died this year. I was devastated. I was like, what? How did I miss that? How did we miss Marv Wolfman dying? My favorite moment was going in on Friday and finding Marv Wolfman's schedule of appearances at WonderCon. That man's not dead, thank God. He's still alive and kicking. And I said, Greg, you happy? So basically a guy comes back from the dead. It was a comic book rebirth. I love the fact that Marv Wolfman was not dead. My favorite part of the entire weekend. All right, we can move
just
on.
Just like Superman. Wow. No, right.
I got dark.
Is that a Chattanooga sense of humor type of thing? I don't know.
No, he thought it was real.
He thought it was real. Okay.
He heard it.
Man, these rumors are vicious.
I mean, there are those times that I should say. There are those times where certain actors pass away, and you're like, "Whoa, like, they're still alive!"
Yes.
But you're like happy because you're like, "Wow, that's so awesome that they're still alive. They live this long or whatever."
Yeah, but this is Marv Wolfman. We can't let that guy go. All right. If we had to suggest some things for improvement, things that we think might have been able to be done better, let's start with Angela.
I see. Okay. Well, I agree with Jake about loving the app and the program and all that and having that schedule there. I think I know it's a huge undertaking to put together a program and the agenda and the itinerary, but I would have liked to see that a little bit sooner. I think I kept checking back, you know, every few days or every week and wondering when that schedule was going to be up. And I think of... I think it's just more like app because I want to be able to see where my friends are at and compare schedules. So maybe it's just me. Was I supposed to like friend you guys on the app and then we would see each other's schedules? Has anyone here tried that?
Well, in the schedule,
I tried searching for friends. I didn't try searching for other friends' schedules. I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, I wasn't sure, but it would be a nice feature to add to the app. And that way I can just know where I can meet up with the same friends of the same interest, basically.
Hey, just real quick, just the common practice for San Diego and WonderCon is to release their schedule 2 weeks ahead of time.
Okay.
They're trying to push it out to 3 weeks ahead of time. And I can tell you one of the reasons the pullback on that are people like me and Luke, who actually have panels, and we wait to the last second to finalize. We don't wait, but it's so hard to finalize panelists sometimes. So I think
I believe
you. Best they can there. Yeah,
I believe you, and that's why I said I feel like, you know, just as an attendee, I'm like dying to know what's happening. But I also know that they have thousands. Like I feel like they have a heavy program. So I kind of I get it. That's me being nitpicky. I'm sure I could find other things, but
that's
like I said,
point,
I was
that's a real good point.
Yeah, yeah. How about you guys? What do you think could be, you know, room for what is there room for improvement?
I've got some ideas, but Jake, I would love to hear what you think, and then let's head to Luke.
Well, I was there for one day. I don't really know if I'd have any like specific critiques. Like for me, the flow was very great. I was a big fan of the fact that they did not clear rooms between panels.
Yeah,
which was great because then you could, you know, get there. Like it also let the panels go a little bit longer because it didn't mean they have to clear the room and then let people in before starting the next panel. So you could go like a full 55 minutes rather than cut it short. That did lead to like some people being very mad that like they went and saved a seat for themselves by sitting in it. And other people were like, you know, saving seats for their friends up in like some front rows. So it might have to be a bit more strict on saving seats for people. I think that's the only thing that comes to mind. Cause then like some folks got so cranky that there was almost an altercation at one panel that I was at.
Oh, seriously?
I mean, enough that, you know, I was just like, I don't want to sit up in the front now because.
Did they like whip out their foam weapons? Or were they just like lightsabering it out? No.
It did not escalate. It didn't escalate to that. No, thank you.
Angel, were you there a few years ago in Hall H at Comic-Con when somebody stabbed somebody with a pencil?
Oh my God, no. And thank goodness.
They had ambulances and everything. It was a big mess.
That's why they don't let pencils into Hall H any longer.
Anything else, Jake?
That's it for me. I had a great time.
Jeez, let's hear your thoughts.
My one complaint of that is that I didn't have a Groundhog Day situation the next morning so that I could repeat it over and over again until I was satisfied. But you can't expect that.
Maybe next year.
Next year, yeah.
Real quick before Luke gives his... Andy just said today the Nintendo eShop on the 3DS and the Wii U closed today. Rest in peace. Oh, dun, dun, dun. That's sad. Thank you, Andy. Luke, do you have something?
Yeah, I think where WonderCon can improve the most is their social media, because they really don't utilize a platform that could really pump up their numbers and bring in the attendance or get, you know, bigger things to come in there due to just promotional stuff. I think they're really lacking it. Like to be as connected as they are and be the kind of the little brother or little sister or whatever related to Comic-Con, I don't feel like they utilize that beast as much as they could. And like, because if you look on like their Instagram of things, they're not really like promoting some of these bigger panels. Or I know like everybody and their brother would be like, I'll promote my panel or things, but I think there definitely is more promotional stuff they could be doing if they had a social media person. They did do a good job of, they posted some panels and things after or reposted. They even posted our panel on their thing after the fact, but it would have been nice to get more kind of promo stuff, especially for like, you know, celebrity type guests and things more like ahead of time. Or I just feel like they could really up their their marketing that way. And then just in general, like, again, when I first started going there, like, there were like movies like 21 Jump Street and Prometheus, and it just seemed like a lot more movie studios and things mm-hmm. were coming in and treating it like it was Comic-Con, because it was kind of in that craze of the whole Twilight thing where the movies kind of came in, which to a lot of comic fans, that really hurt what it was. And a lot of the comic people like how it's kind of backstepped a little bit from all that. But me as a filmmaker and as a film lover and TV lover, all that kind of stuff, which kind of draws me more to these kind of conventions, I do miss a little more those presence of like, oh, Warner Brothers doing a panel and they're going to show us like two or three different things they're working on, or having those panels are really filling their arena a little more and utilizing these bigger panels or things happening. So, and even like pop-ups or things like that would be more cool to see. I know there's not really a lot of for that, or even, you know, after parties and stuff. I know like some people have tried to attempt to do some of this stuff.
Let's talk about that for a second and not dwell on it, but pop-ups, after parties, things after the con closes in San Diego, it's just as much of the experience as the convention itself, is all the gigantic area of events.
And they have activations and then there are a lot of events where even if you don't have a badge, they invite people to come in. That is huge at SDCC that you don't see at WonderCon. I wonder if there is a space that they can make. That's great observation.
Yeah. And I don't want to like, let's not tell the name, but we talked with somebody who does sponsor multiple big giant events and parties in San Diego. And he told us that here in WonderCon, it's just so difficult. For one thing, there's not a lot of spaces that are very close. Mm-hmm. There's Alpha Blues over at the Garden Walk, and that's kind of a distance. Yeah. And they charge an arm and a leg, apparently. But then we're across the street from Disney, and we're not going to be running out Disney spaces. That Disney kind of keeps those. But also, it's interesting that WonderCon, the convention organizers themselves, they rent out all the ballrooms, and they keep them empty for the most part in the hotels. And I wonder if that's they're trying to keep people, because they do have programming that goes on till like 11 o'clock at night. They have movies being shown. They have different things happening.
Yeah, because you could really like bring in like people that can build sets and do different things in these giant ballrooms to really create, kind of based on some of the parties we've been to at Comic-Con, you could really utilize a space like that, throw in some cool lighting, some cool set stuff, throw this cool mixer and, you know, studios or different, you know, things could throw some big parties, I think, in those.
Well, I mean, I guess the closest thing to an activation was, and forgive me, but the next gen themed was with the nachos, with the free nachos.
That was 10 forward.
Free nachos. Forward,
thank you. Yeah.
I went to the second floor. They had a hospitality lounge called 10 forward, which was kind of like a carryover from the 10 forward event that was down in San Diego. And they had free nachos and free sodas for whoever came up.
Oh, I am so angry.
There are hundreds of people up there. And that's where, by the way, let me just show you this again real quick. That's where I got this picture, right? Oh, never mind. It was in the movie of Guinan from Next Generation. It was really cool. All right.
Oh, cool.
All right, Luke, keep on going, and I'll try not to interrupt anymore. I'll try. I can't promise.
Well, I think you were talking. Did you interrupt yourself?
No, you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about, the improvement.
I interrupted you. And then, that's right.
It was a long
series of interruptions.
Interruption cascade. I apologize. Yeah.
I just feel like Comic-Con needs to take WonderCon. Like, hey, buddy, let's do some more stuff. Let's do this together. Let's make, like, we're the big thing, but then you're the little thing, and we're going to like maybe even test stuff that we might do at Comic-Con there. Like even like the VR experiences, like they could easily pull a truck up and do kind of like they did the It and the other things where they do these little trucks or something, or just a little funhouse type something, just a couple things. Mm-hmm. Need to be a lot, but maybe just a couple of those things, and just to draw some people from the outside that, you know, are doing more of the cosplay or can't necessarily afford to go to the convention, but can still want to have the experience.
Yeah. Just to your point though, like you talk about the movies, I agree with you. There used to be more large movies and movie events happening at WonderCon. I think it's just the nature of the business also that fewer and fewer films are even being shown at San Diego and television. And Jake, I think you could, and streaming, I mean, it's just dominates
like,
now.
Like, everyone is in flux right now. Like everyone is reevaluating the streaming strategy that was implemented, gosh, it was like 4 years ago now, where everyone was starting their own streaming service and like the like, and then you've got like a studio like Warner Brothers, which might do that under new management now, is of course just, you know, everything's being fluctuated and there's a lot of staffing restructuring. So like, I'm sure
that's maybe a really good point. There's stuff happening in the industry that we might not, you know, that we're feeling and not everyone really knows the inner workings of, but yeah.
And then particularly with like certain guilds that are gearing up for possible, you know,
strike.
So then like you've got a bunch of other execs and things who are trying to make sure they have enough material to actually film should anything happen for an extended period. It like it starts like marketing, in-person marketing, promotional stuff, I'm sure was very low on the priority list for them.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of tech talk.
No, that's kind of cool. It's inside baseball. Like we're filmmakers. All of us here are filmmakers. So we come at it from a filmmaking perspective. A lot of the big panels, movie panels, and even some of the TV panels, they're all paid for through marketing and promotions money, which we're kind of at the end of that cycle right now when you hit into the spring. We're not really, we're about to hit the upfronts for broadcast. So maybe we're right there in the marketing. But summertime's a great time for movies and new series coming on next fall. So it just depends on the time of year. But I agree with Luke. It seems like we've dialed down some of the larger movie panels. Some of the TV panels are still around. We had the Walking Dead stuff. But Walking Dead itself is kind of dialing down. So what we need is some new giant TV shows to come along. I think, Angela, you're right. I think Last of Us might be the next big thing to be hitting San Diego this summer. All right, here's my – Luke, are you done with your
– Yeah.
Okay, here's mine real quick. Number one, okay, I love the fact that the food trucks are out there, but every day the floor closed at 7 o'clock. Giant crowds of people rush out of the convention center at 7 o'clock, and all the food trucks were told to close at 7 o'clock.
What?
Yes, it doesn't make sense to me except for this. Maybe it is a crowd control thing to get everybody to leave. They don't want them to gather at the food trucks, but I'm just saying, as a hungry attendee, when I'm going outside at the end, I'm looking for food, and there's not enough food in just the two hotels to feed the 50,000 people coming out the door. So I think that was
a bit. But it might be the hotels that are like, hey, we'll let you be out front of our hotel for these hours, but these hours with a bar, because they utilize probably the bar more than anything.
To be honest, it was the same thing with the Hilton food court, because I noticed once I was going back in there around 7-ish or so.
They closed, too,
so it wasn't. So I guess it's not that. I mean, I had to get my hash browns over at Denny's, so, you know.
There was the Denny's about Wait, 7
there was
the
Denny's.
But look, where'd you eat one
Harbor Boulevard.
The Walgreens.
Luke
ate it. That's what I mean.
I had to go to Walgreens to get a croissant turkey sandwich.
So the nighttime food situation needs to be fixed. That's one.
I parked a couple blocks south of Orangewood, and on my way back to the car, passed by a couple of delightful places like a pho restaurant, which didn't seem too crowded.
A few blocks away. We're acting like it's such a terrible, you know.
Yeah, we'll walk for 10 miles.
I'm a New Yorker.
If it's not within a quarter mile, I'm not going at WonderCon.
What, Angela? You're New Yorker? What?
No, I said I'm a New Yorker. I'll walk. I will walk. But, you know, I know the Southern California types. We can get, when we're down here, we can get leaves. But you're right. We can get calloused feet from walking the convention floor up and down for 3 days straight. But heavens forbid we have to walk to the Denny's a block away. Yeah.
I would just encourage them to let the food trucks stay open at least 1 hour. All right.
And it's been unusually cold for
California.
All right,
California. We got to finish. I got to hush. All right. Number two was the parties. I wish there were after hours events, after hours food, after hours events. This third one, I don't know if they can do much about, but it was the coldest WonderCon in my memory. I know it was cold, it was threatening rain, and there's nothing that they can do about it. So that's nothing they can improve next year, unless they want to hold it later in the year, but I hope they don't. All right. And the one thing that I did have a little bit of a beef was we had a 30th anniversary, 30 years of Power Rangers. No, wait, 30 years of Power Rangers, a fan celebration scheduled on Sunday. On Saturday, they had 38 years of Power Rangers, a fandom celebration. Give us a heads up next time. It kind of really put a dent in people realizing that our panel was on Sunday. A lot of people thought it that day on Saturday was it. And I'm not besmirching the panel. The panel was decent. It was a good panel. They had good guests. It's not that. I just think that if tell us, we'll change the name. We just can't do that again. We can't have two panels named almost identical names, almost the same exact topics. It just kind of was odd, and it forced people to maybe they thought it was such a big thing that they could split the audience. Maybe we're hoping. We have a lot of Power Rangers who are saying that they are ready for San Diego to celebrate in a big way. So let's hope that we can do that. So that's my negatives. Let's hurry up, and we're going to finish up here, guys. What did anybody get anything at the convention this weekend? Angela, let's see what you got.
I did. Okay. First of all, there was a huge push also for a lot of diversity panels, but I had to represent, you know, my folks from the Philippines. So we've got a hat. This is a Filipino food. It's called lumpia. It's like an egg roll. It's a superhero who throws egg rolls at people. It's a movie called Lumpia with a Vengeance. It was like sold out at Comic-Con last year. I picked up this nice sweet hat. So we'll put links to all these people in the show.
I love that.
And then, it's so awesome. And then we've got an all-women, all-Asian-owned comic book, and they're going to start publishing, I believe, comic books. So we've got, I picked up this comic book, the first issue from these folks over at Cuento Comics. And then I'm just feeding through Fandom Charities. You know, I'm a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Joss Whedon fan of all his shows. So I picked up this sweet t-shirt of Warren, the karaoke demon from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This glows in the dark, guys. So, and just a quick thing about Fandom Charities, they are hosting a huge event in October called Homecoming, and they're hosting it at Sunnydale High School, which is actually a high school in Torrance. So they actually got in at that venue, and they're going to host a homecoming dance. I'm going to be going to that.
Can we talk about that for a second, by the way? That's on my list. I've got the flyer for the event you're talking about, the Sunnydale Homecoming, because the best thing about the best thing about WonderCon, I think, for us, for the con guy for this weekend, is that we did partner with Hellmouth Con and Fandom Charities. They were a partner with us, and they hosted the Power Rangers for signings on Sunday for a few hours. And those folks are awesome.
Lovely people.
Yes, they're the best. They're the best. And we're going to partner with them throughout this year to promote this event.
Oh, good.
Sunnydale Homecoming. It's going to be a cool event.
We're going to have some spiked punch together. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
By the way, for those who don't know, Torrance High School is where they filmed the actual show, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's where they filmed the homecoming dance. And so they're going to have a homecoming 23 in commemoration. I think it's one of the best things I've heard. I'd love it. Thank you for bringing that up, Angela.
Yeah, of course. What'd you guys get? Let's see merch.
Jake, were you able to see anything? Grab anything?
I had a delicious ham sandwich and an invigorating cup of coffee. Luke.
Invigorating. Yeah.
And it wasn't at Walgreens, so amazing. No.
Cheese man.
Well, for me this time, it's not what's in the box, it's what's in the bag, I guess.
Oh, wait. We got to do it. Where's it at?
A mystery bag.
I got it. And
what's in the box?
Let's do it.
It's our little fun gag we like to do on what's in the bag. So
you guys produce this now.
Yeah, exactly. I did show Jake this one. So both me and Jake knew of this. This is the Batman 1989 figure that I got mine at like Kmart when I was a kid. I actually already bought one of these at, I think, my first WonderCon I went to. I actually rebought this, but I saw it again, and I recently got my other friend Jake, who's also Jacoby System, that's on our show, he gave me an old Batmobile that fits this. So I'm like, I need a Batman to fit it. They did have one that was loose for $20, but for $25, I got the
car. Yeah, if there's only $5 difference, get it in car.
How are you gonna fit him in the car if he's in a package?
I'll have to open it unless I find another one that's loose online, or I go home and I find my original one that I might have somewhere, then maybe I'll just do that and not open it. But I'll wait till I go back home to maybe open it.
Yeah.
Then I got this little Batmobile, also 1989, which the graphic here, the guy was showing me, actually changed. There was one that had more of a Phantom look that came out before this, but then they reissued it and had the one that looks more like Batman, a little less Phantom looking, but this is the 1989 Michael Keaton Batmobile. It's
nice.
It has a little bit of like the Hot Wheels. It's a die-cast metal type thing. So this nice. This was only $10, so went ahead and grabbed one of these.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Most
of them, keep this in the box.
1989. None of us were born then, right?
I remember. Exactly. Right.
I was four. I remember.
It's
that
a narrative I'd really like well. To keep going.
Yeah, none of us were already graduated from high school then, right?
Yeah.
We won't talk about it.
So this is something I've been looking for a while because I have the John Connor and Sarah Connor NECA figures as well as the T-1000, which they've had a Target. Ooh. But I'm in desperate need to get my T-800 Arnold, which this one's actually from Terminator 2 3D, but it basically has the same exact look as the T2 Terminator. So I'm like, oh, I'll just get this one. And this was cool. Sold this to me, I think, for... I think it was only 25, which when I've looked online at the other stuff, it's like usually 35 plus. So This was cheaper, but will look sweet with the John Connor and Sarah Connor. And it's a very good sculpted figure, has different heads you can swap out. My nephew got to meet him recently, Arnold Schwarzenegger, at the Arnold Classic. And so I sent him a picture. I'm like, well, some meet them, some just buy
What's
it.
The Arnold Classic?
Arnold Classic is a bodybuilding competition with Arnold's name kind of branded on it. One of the biggest bodybuilding contests out there. Or events, basically like a convention. Hopefully I'll get to go one of these years because they got to kind of get the VIP treatment and stuff. But one of the other con guys had a birthday that weekend. So
wait.
Instead.
Uh-oh, Jim wasn't invited to that.
Carrie, are you on right now? Oh, I should.
Are you hearing voices? Are you hearing Carrie's voice? All right. And the final thing.
Carrie just texted me and said that she just jumped on.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Carrie, if you want to jump on for a second. Oh. Hey, Carrie, I'm going to email you something real quick. I'm going to email you the link. Once
Hi,
you join,
Carrie.
Okay. Keep going, Luke.
All right. And the final thing I got, which was actually very close to the other booth. I was like, wow, because it's usually been very hard to find Terminator stuff, but this is Arnold from the first original Terminator, Arnold, and it has a couple different heads and all that. It's one of, I think, the two outfits. I'm not sure if they have the one with the leather jacket, if they made that one with the sunglasses, whereas I'll be back, the part at the police station. But this is kind of the Arnold character at the beginning, but again, a very well-sculpted NECA figure, and they did a really good job on this, so...
This yeah, is looks good.
$35. So, like, you get pretty close to, and it's actually somewhat cheaper than Target. Some because usually they add tax, but if you pay cash at these vendors' booths, they'll a lot of times just give it to you for that flat fee. You know, if you pay cash, and then you don't have to worry about the whole tax and stuff. But most of the time, they're not overcharging unless it's something you know that's not out there, and then you know it's definitely gain value. There are a lot of things like that, but. It is a good place to buy stuff you're looking to collect and that are still even in stores at times.
Nice purchases.
Thank you.
All right, and I'll do mine real quick. I think Carrie might join just for our last minute thing. Let me do this. So I didn't get a chance to buy very many toys. I did, like I said, I saw the Biotron, wanted it too much. I saw some Godzillas I wanted. I think those are overpriced right now, but that's just me. So I am a big fan of Silver Surfer Galactus story, so I got this cool Silver Surfer Rebirth graphic novel I'm looking forward to reading. It's also got Thanos in it, everybody's favorite. And this is the thing that I'm really excited about. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Lost Boys, and I didn't know that the Lost Boys comic series, it's just a six-issue comic print. I didn't know that this existed. I found it. It's just like... It was done in 2017, so it's kind of new for mature readers only, so hopefully I'm mature enough to read that, but
you're not.
That is what I was able to come up on, and we have a guest with us in just 1 second, and it is Carrie. Hello.
Hi, Carrie.
What's up?
Hey.
It's like, we missed you this weekend.
So Carrie is one of the hosts of another show. She was probably doing that show. What show was that, Carrie?
Yes, it's called Nighttime at the Nerd Bar.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
And we cover anime primarily, but then we also have other news of geek and pop culture stuff. And in the end, we also recommend, like, I had to readjust my setting. Like other shows, books, or games, or whatever we're playing. And so, yeah, we just wrapped that. So,
all right. So, Carrie, we are glad to have you. We're coming to the end of the show.
Yes. No, I was going to say that's good. I got to watch a screener because I got to interview tomorrow.
I would love to get your feedback on. We've been talking tonight about the high points and not so high points of WonderCon for us. We don't want to beat them up because I think this was a great convention that they put on this year. But what were some of the highlights and then maybe some areas you think they might want to look at?
Sure. Well, I did notice a lot of people commented. Oh, there, that light. I'm like, it's wider. I've seen into my other room there. Yes. No.
Here.
It's not really that big a deal, but it's okay.
Just say it's a virtual Zoom background.
I'm okay with my kitchen, but that's fine. You know, it's a lot of people commented there weren't as many like celebrities, and that can often be a draw for people. Though I was talking to an artist, and they felt that the people who are coming for celebrities are not there for the art and the comics, which I feel is true to an extent. Mm-hmm. Because there can be people like all of us who, yes, we're interested in art, we're interested in comics, but we also like watching the shows and movies too. So mm-hmm. It's like, okay. I do find that once you've gone to a lot of cons, it takes a lot for a panel to be really interesting. So yeah. I didn't go to any panels, but in doing press, you're mostly doing interviews and exploring the floor, which is like my favorite thing of just seeing.
You were super
that
busy
have.
With press, though.
On Saturday, my first one, I was doing press from most of the day. I covered the Ark, Quantum Leap. I interviewed Power Rangers and some of the ones that were at your panel and other ones. And also did some on the floor too, which is great because like there was an actor who had been at a red carpet at the last Comic Con and I missed them. I got everybody else but them. And then I was like, oh, cool. Can we do an interview? And he was really chill about it. So I was like, yes, nice. So like those are nice moments too where you get to interact. And that was also just really fun to watch fans interact too because it's like, oh my gosh, I love this, you know, work you did and how excited and their memories. And like one was a couple and the girl was like gushing over him and so excited. And the guy bought her the signed prints. And it's like stuff like that is I think such a unique experience to conventions and being able to watch that is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Did you see anything that you think maybe next year it'll be better?
I think could have more lineup variety too, because that's the other thing too. Like if you're a panelist, the suggestion is, well, what can you bring something new? Because it's like a lot of, yes, there are plenty of people that this is maybe their first con, which a lot of people, WonderCon is their first con, which is, that's fantastic. But for those of us who've already been, like, what are you doing that's going to be interesting and bring somebody in? If you're not like a new television show, like what is that thing to make it interesting? But yeah, that's part of it. I bought stickers. That's what I got a lot of stickers. I was like, I had some of them of like,
what do you do with your stickers usually?
I love this one. That's cool.
It's like a little fairy on top of a pumpkin, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah. I want to know what you do with stickers too. Do you put them on your laptop?
Well, okay. Funny thing with that is, I use my laptop for work too. So then I'm like, oh, I don't want to. Like it's more in a professional setting. So I'm like, I kind of want nothing on it. So I generally have my one sticker of the year on my planner. So this is from an anime called How to Keep a Mummy, which is very adorable. On my suitcase, I recently got this plastic suitcase and I've been putting stickers on a suitcase. I'm like, that's a good way to decorate it and have some personality. But then I also had we'll see how long they last and how much they get beat up. But I like that joke that people get tattoos, but then they won't put their stickers anywhere. And my stickers on my desk here is testament to that as well. Of yes, that's true. But I'm like, but I like them. But yes, I found some. I think like, yeah, Artist Alley, like that's the other thing too. Just checking out what artists are making and everything is always a draw. And running into friends. Like I ran into quite a few people and then apparently not everybody too. Because then you see pictures later and you're like, you were there and I missed you.
Mm.
And Carrie,
we kept running into each other, which was awesome.
I didn't see you once, not once.
I know.
And Carrie, I ran into you and Yale on Saturday night, and that was a pleasure. That was so cool to see you guys.
And and it's also just nice too to introduce people of like, hey, this friend, you need to meet that friend, and like you do this, you should talk to them. Or I always love that at cons
love
too, because we're all in that same sphere of interests, but it's like maybe you haven't met them, and like that kind of collaboration is so cool.
100% agreed.
Hey Nathan, good to see you. So we are going to wrap up the show, Luke. Very quickly, tell, because Luke was on a panel and I was on a panel. Luke, tell us about your panel.
Oh gosh, I'm like butchering the name of my own panel. Like
the importance of online branding.
The importance of online branding. Exactly what I should be knowing and saying right now. So yeah, I was on that panel with four other creatives, and yeah, it was led by Topher, moderated it, but we
Topher Davila,
and then we handed out. We did some giveaways, some Adobe stuff, some Creative Paint stuff. It was very similar to Jim's panel as well, but yeah, I got to be on there, talk a lot about, you know, the Con Guy and marketing and kind of stuff we've been doing. We talked about, you know, keeping kind of a similar design across the board, color palette kind of stuff. And just even talking about, I even shared kind of like how originally we weren't even planning on doing a podcast. We were just a website, but then promoting the website and using a podcast as a platform is kind of how we expanded that, where now it almost seems like we're as much a podcast as we are a website with a lot of stuff we're doing and with our involvement as well as attending conventions.
I thought it was a really good panel. And what was cool is that his panel, it kind of merged into the panel, which I was a part of. It's kind of like a 2-hour session. And the panel I was on, it's the one I've been on for a number of years, but I think it's such an important one for people in the industry, how to have a full-time creative career on a part-time basis. And it's both practical advice and inspirational advice. And the thing that, two stories real quick. One.
Well, what does that mean, a full-time creative career on a part-time
schedule? Well, like I think all of us here on this podcast, we have aspirations and dreams of chasing something full time that really is something that we're passionate about, something we can be creative with. We're writers, we're creators, we're online hosts, and we're actors. I mean, I just think that's the dream, and it's hard to get there. And there's certain, and the thing is, you can't just get there by wishing it to happen. You have to take steps. You have to work. You got to do things to get there. So that's what this panel was about. And the one piece of advice that I always stick to, and it's just what Carrie was just talking about, is the networking aspect, introducing people to each other, meeting people. If you want to be in the industry, LobbyCon is the way to do it. Out in front, I mean, we say it in a kind of funny way, but and then I guess Luke put a picture of me on on my panel.
Look at that guy, so happy on his panel.
And you can see some of the Wacom tablets. We gave away 8 Wacom tablets to Adobe Art portfolio, somethings, and then a year subscription per in Luke's panel and in our panel, a year subscription to the Adobe Creative Suite.
We had 2 in ours because we had 2 Adobe people on
our panel. Oh, so you guys did 2 of them, yeah. So that's really good. So
like these part-time creatives sure make a lot of money giving out
That's how we get people to come to our panel.
But the panel was pretty packed, and one of the things that I keep on talking about, like, Network. It's not hard to network at San Diego Comic-Con or WonderCon, because we have the one thing about networking is always hard to break the ice, because like, what do I have in common with this person? You're at WonderCon. We all have something in common. We're all a bunch of lovers of fandom and nerdy, geeky goodness. So you see somebody cosplaying as one of your favorite characters. Easy way to start a conversation. But anyways, this woman came up to me, and I'm going to talk about her right now. Her name is Jennifer Middleton. She talked about how absolutely difficult it was for her to network. She seemed like she was painfully shy, but she came up, she asked a question during the panel. I'm so proud that she did that. And then she gave me a book that she had written. This is a book. And then she also has created something, Jennifer Middleton. She created these little promotional pieces, and she goes, it's just so hard to network. And I just said, you are doing that right now, and you're doing it great. You're doing it in front of all these people. Jennifer, if you're watching, you are going to go places. I just think you did such a good job. And also, there was the last piece of advice they always get out of that panel. This was funny. Always have a business card ready or to exchange with people. Don't be caught dead in these situations without a business card or something to give to somebody so they can always remember you. We talked about it. We all exchanged. I went out to eat afterwards with some friends up to Bubba Gump's, and I'm going to the bathroom. I'm about to walk in the bathroom. This lady walks up behind me and goes, "Hey, I was just in your panel." She pulls out a business card. I don't have one. She goes, "You don't have a business card." So lesson learned. No, she was great. She was absolutely great. I just think it's cool. People came up to me afterwards and we're talking about that. We talked for another 45 minutes with the group after the convention was concluded. I loved it. And I hope we get more of that. Guys, any closing thoughts before we close? Because we do have to close up the show. Any thoughts about WonderCon that folks might want to know?
Not WonderCon, but I was going to say quick on business cards. You do not need fancy ones. You can get really cheap ones online, shop around, and don't be intimidated by it. And if you are somebody who you do something where it's you, like you're an actor or you're a host or something where it's your face, you should put your picture on your card. Because otherwise people are not going to remember who it is. Like, so something connected to it. I was like, I have my really old one.
I'm going to show you mine real quick.
From Geekdomware, who, like, we did the panel with, he can help with business cards and things for people, his company.
I'm going to show you this one real quick. This is mine and Luke's. We do have to go, guys. I'm so sorry for keeping us so late.
Yeah. Now we're going to
all start our writing. That's me and Luke. This is the poster from the Fight Club. We turned it into the
cover.
And I don't care if you get it, because this is our information. You can contact us. I don't think I want my phone number up there.
Wait, yeah. Delete that. Blur that out.
What are you talking about?
No, here's my tip that somebody told me that, so you can do it. So this is an old one. So I have I have my name. I have a title of what I do, like online handle and a website. Don't necessarily need a website. You could do a link tree, but you leave this space blank. So you can write a phone number in after you've talked to someone and realize they're not a crazy person.
Oh, that's good.
Because then it's like,
we can do a whole episode on like business card and
networking. Etiquette. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Networking etiquette.
This is like American Psycho, and we're talking about business cards.
You're in my brain, Carrie, because I was going to bring out some Patrick Bateman, the eggshell finish and all that. Oh, wow.
I told Jake I was getting a sweat going down seeing that last business card.
All right, guys. Listen.
Wait a minute. Let's see Paul Allen's card.
All right. This has been a really fun wrap-up show for WonderCon. WonderCon, one of my most favorite events of the year. Thank you, Carrie, for jumping on last minute here. We're going to go around and tell people where they can find you and anything you're working on you want to promote. Carrie, go first.
Yes, you can find me across all the interwebs at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E on all social media platforms. Stay tuned because I'll link stuff there, all the interviews I did from WonderCon. I just did an interview with the director for Unwelcome, and I'll be linking that on my social media as well. And then, like I said, there's a link tree there, which is a free website, not sponsored. And that way you can link people to all the stuff you have going on. Easy way to keep that under wraps.
Hey, Carrie, what was the name of the movie that's the fan film on YouTube that your friend...
Severus Snape and the Marauders. I interviewed some other actors from that film many years ago, and then I saw somebody, I'm like, "You look really familiar." When we're trying to figure it out, and then he's like, "I'm in this movie." I'm like, "Wait, I've met you." And then it's like, "No, I watched the film, but then I need to message him now because I'll be like, yes, I met you at like Kamikaze back when it's called Kamikaze." All those things of connecting, but that's always fun to bump into people like that, of like, wait, I've seen you from a thing. And
all right, cool. And Jake, who has award-winning films that have been circulating around different various film festivals this past year, tell us about where they can see maybe one of your films or where to find out more information.
God bless you, sir. You just reminded me. So online, I'm here at JT Hummus. This is Instagram and Twitter. If you're in the Cleveland area, head to the Cleveland International Film Festival, where tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, you'll see, as a part of the Parability Shorts block, a short film called Bow that I wrote, directed by Isaiah Smith. Plays at the Allen Theater, and you can get tickets at the clevelandfilm.org, I think is the website. That's probably not it, but just Google Cleveland Film Festival. You'll be able to see the movie and get tickets for it.
Fantastic. Awesome.
If you're not in the Cleveland area, the virtual festival starts on April 2nd, I think. So then you'll be able to get tickets, online virtual tickets, and watch the short there.
Fantastic. Angela.
I think you're just making up dates and websites now. well, first of all, thank you guys for having me.
Just so you know, every website is made up.
Touche.
People are just labeling the rising and setting of the sun, so dates are made up as well.
I love that. This is like going so, okay. We can talk more about that. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm so happy to be back as part of the Con Guy family, or like a distant relative maybe who'll pop in. So good to see your faces. Guys, you can find me at Angela Relucio and all the socials. It's right here on your screen. And I'm excited because I've basically closed up and I have an option for a set of fantasy books that I'm hoping to develop into a TV series. And that just happened at the end of last week. So if you don't see me, it's because I am at home buried under work and creating a pitch deck and all that exciting stuff so I can continue with my love of nerddom. Please find me. I also co-own the Catan Club LA meetup.com group, because I don't know if you guys know, but I compete at Catan tournaments because one of my goals in life is to become a U.S. national champion. Wow. I don't know. So if you're in the LA area, we do meetups where we just play Catan. So you could check that out. It'll be on my Instagram linked. I do all sorts of nerd stuff, and I'm just happy to be here and to talk about it with you guys.
Angela, we've got to, Derek and Danae are so big into that. You guys have got to be out at the same time. We got to let them know. All right, that's cool.
Okay, let's make it happen. All right,
cool. Jeez, man.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and also theconguy.com.
All right, you can find me, Jim, at James D. Fry on Instagram, Jim Fry LA on Twitter. Hopefully soon this year. Luke and I have been buried under mountains and mountains of work, working on season 3 of Sons of Thunder, a streaming series for Sony. And if you get a chance, go check out season 2. Just Google Sons of Thunder. You'll be able to find it. We are really happy you guys joined us tonight. Thank you. WonderCon was great. We can't wait till next year. And if we don't see you before then, we'll see you at San Diego Comic-Con. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.